The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Audio Frontier.
Ladies and gentlemen, the following podcast is Wrestling Daft and is scheduled for 1 hour. Maybe more. It has no real time limits making their way into your ears. First, from a place called Garniston, he is the Pyramid.
It's going to be the funniest show ever because I'm all about the comedy and the money.
How much you can pay?
And his partner, Feta Tap End of Stevenson.
From Mick Echo City to Beef Community Centre, I've got stories that are going to blow your mind.
Hello and welcome to Wrestling Daft. My name is Rab Florence. Is it really Rab Florence? It is. It's me. And can you believe that also sitting here is the one and only, the man himself, the icon, Producer John.
Hello.
And also Gredo. Also Gredo.
Hey now. Hey now.
Ian, mate. That's what we call, what I did to Gredo there was what we call in the business a rib.
Yep.
Fucking ribbed you a belter, mate. What do you think of that?
It was a good one. I saw it coming a mile off, Rob, but I'll tell you.
I know you've had a hard week. That's why I'm going to try and make you laugh this week. We're going to keep it brief as well. It's been a tough week for Gredo. Gredo, of course, everybody, I think, in Scotland, I'm talking as a Celtic fan here, right? But everybody, I think, in Scotland was very sad this week to learn about Walter Smith passing away. But Gredo had met the guy multiple times, right, Gredo?
Aye, loads of times. What a guy, man. It's just...
And it's not just Gredo, it's like loads of people I've heard as well. And this is a weird thing because, you know, didn't customarily talk to people about Walter Smith. You know what I mean? It wouldn't be a thing I brought up really as a Celtic fan, but now the stories are coming out and loads of people that I know have met him and all that, and they're all saying the same thing. You know, great guy, lovely guy, cracking sense of humour, all that. I seen him once here in Helensburgh. I remember when I first moved to Helensburgh, people said to me, "Oh, you moving to Helensburgh? Big Walter Smith lives there." That's what everybody said. "Big Walter lives there, aye." Remember a taxi driver saying to me, he was like, "Where are you off to?" He says, "Oh, I'm just going to train station. I live in Helensburgh now, so I'm going in there." "Aye, Big Walter lives there." And I was thinking to myself, Big Walter? And the first thing I thought about was a character called Walter that I played in Burniston.
I was going to say.
And I'm more joking here, Gredo, this is what I say to the guy. He says, Mate, no, I'm Walter. He was like, "What?"
I love that.
I says, I'm Walter. It's the other guy. The other guy's Paul, and I'm the one that does Walter. Like, what are you fucking talking about? Walter Smith? Fucking Rangers manager.
Oh, that's so funny.
That's a brassery, I think.
That's hilarious.
I just assumed. Oh, this guy knows my. But anyway, moved to Helensburgh. Says to my wife, Jen, Walter Smith lives here. Wife knows nothing about football. In fact, when Walter Smith passed away, I says to my wife, "Oh, Jesus, sad man, Walter Smith died." And she just kind of looked at me blankly and I said, "Do you know who Walter Smith is?" And she went, "Celtic manager." So that was that's a bit what she knew. But when we moved here, people would say, "Walter lives in Helensburgh." And I was like, "I wonder if I'll see Walter." And I was doing Home Hardware one day, the hardware shop here in Helensburgh. And I was looking, I can't remember what I was in for. I think I was maybe looking for a tape measure. And sadly, not for DIY, but for measuring out distances for my Warhammer men to move around. And I was in Home Hardware looking for that, and I turned around, and who do I see looking at some screws? But Walter Smith himself. He's just looking at the different sizes of screws and stuff like that. So I don't know, maybe he was into a wee bit of DIY.
He just, because he was like the manliest man, I think.
Oh, he's a manly man, right?
Do you know what I mean?
And a clock. Yeah, I wasn't surprised to see him in a hardware shop, you know what I mean?
If you were to say, where do you think I would spot Walter if I'm out in Helensburgh today? It would be, maybe he's kicking about the Home Hardware, the DIY shop.
He's not in the nail bar. He wasn't in the nail bar, you know what I mean? So I saw him there. He was standing with the screws, and I clocked him. And he clocked me looking at him, right? And then there was that moment, you know what I mean, where you're like, if you're a Rangers supporter, you're probably going, Walter, or you're going, oh, big boy, I love you and all that. But if you're a Celtic fan, it's different. It's a different bit of engagement between you. So it was the nod of respect.
Aye.
It was, I looked at him and I went, I gave him a wee nod. It was just a wee boom. And I'm sure he understood what that meant and all. You know what I mean? And he went out and he smiled and he just gave me a wee nod back as well. And it was nice. It just felt like a nice wee moment. I know it's terrible. It's like a really shitey example of an interaction with a guy, right? But I think it's interesting that, and I think you've seen it since he passed away, just the amount of respect that he had for Celtic fans, even though he broke our hearts so many times. The amount of respect, even before, I know a lot of people talking about him carrying Tommy Burns' coffin and all that, but I think even before that, people have always respected him. You just had a vibe for him that, you know, he was a decent man. And so it was very sad as well. And as somebody that comes from Helensburgh, it's very sad that, you know, a notable Helensburgh figure who lived, you know, certainly what seems to be a happy, quiet life here in Helensburgh and really enjoyed his time here. It's, you know, it's a very sad thing.
You know what? When Grado messaged, like, he messaged the Football Daft chat, and he messaged the, I hadn't heard the news, and he messaged in saying, I can't believe that's Walter away. I went straight onto the dirt sheets to see if he had left NXT or off the AEW.
Can't believe they've released Walter.
And then I'm Walter. You're Walter.
What are you talking about?
That's right. But see what you said about meeting Walter in the home hardware, and you both looked at each other. I thought he was going to do with quite a lot. Like, for example, I took my mate Fletch to a game at Ibrox once, and we bumped into Ali McCoist.
Aye.
And he said to my mate, Fletch, like, this is the first time I'd ever took him in. And Alan McCoist was like, all right, Grado, how you doing? And he says to my pal, how you doing, mate? Long time no see. And Fletch is going, who does he hang up, right? Mm-hmm. And about 2 minutes later, I'm going, Fletch, have you met Ali before? And he's going, well, I mean, see when I was seven. He's like, I remember I was in the Chinese with my mom and father and Ian Durant, and Ali McCoist walked in, and he found out I was a Rangers fan, and he came over and like, scratched my head and said, all right, wee man. I was going, so what, you think Fletch, do you think Super Ali remembers bumping in you when you're 7 year old? I was going, he probably does that out of like, do you know what I mean? Like, kind of no nervousness, but like, I think I've met this guy before. I'm just going to say that. I know him, do you know what I mean?
Oh, totally. I didn't enjoy, let me tell you, I think I've spoken on this show before. Again, as a Celtic supporter, but I've spoken on this show before about the soft spot I've got for Ali McCoist. Mm-hmm. I did not enjoy, you know, listening to how upset he was on that TalkSport interview. That was
hard, wasn't it, man?
That was a tough listen. He's great, Ali McCoist, man. What a guy, man. Good actor, I know. Said that before.
We have said this before.
Good actor, no. Just good. I just want to tell one other funny story, if you'll allow me, because I was talking about Walter Smith carrying Tommy Burns' coffin, right? My Uncle Bert died, right? And we were all very upset, and we went to my Uncle Bert's funeral, right? And I'm no joking here, right? I just think this is a funny story, right? So we're at my Uncle Bert's funeral, right, in Tullibody, right? And we're all standing in this chapel, right? And the priest comes up, and he goes, we're here today to talk about the passing into our Lord's hands of our brother Bert. But before I get to that, I would just like to tell you the sad news that Tommy Burns has died. And then the priest spoke for 5 minutes.
About Tommy Burns.
At my uncle's funeral.
Was he anti-Celtic or?
Well, look, obviously we're all Celtic supporters. Aye. And obviously we were all very sad to hear that Tommy Burns had died.
Did he break the news? Did the priest break the news?
He broke the news, but there was still a wee bit as it was kind of like, oh, I don't know. It's my uncle's funeral. Do you know what I mean? It was like, you know, the priest was like, the boy in the coffin can wait. Yeah. You know what I mean?
That's quite a
time. You know,
that
remains a very sad thing. Also, that with Walter Smith thing, that's, you know, and then recycled their photos of Walter Smith with Tommy Burns and all that. You're just kind of sad that the guys are away in it.
Good guys,
right? Mm-hmm. So, wrestling, in reference to last week's show, Karate Warrior 2, says it was, first of all, it was, you got to get back to the wrestling. Hashtag, you got to get back to the wrestling for Grado. Then it was, hashtag, when are you going to be back in WWE? Third time, it will be a sign for Grado's return for wrestling exile. Mark these words. Shout out to Jamie, who's just moved into a new house and he's bought new bed covers. He says he can't wait for the wife to get home for work for this surprise. And he sent us a picture of the bed covers.
They're brilliant.
It's big WWE superstar bed covers with John Cena on it, The Rock, Ric Flair, Warrior, Shawn Michaels. Hold on, is Sting on there?
Sting's on there.
These must be custom made. These must be custom made.
I don't know if they're snide. They look snidey.
I think they're like custom made. I think he's went to a quilt cover maker and said, can you make me a WWE bed sheet with my favourite wrestlers on it? Because like they're all different. You've got The Rock, you've got Undertaker, Sting, Shawn Michaels. I think they're custom made.
I don't think they're custom made. I think they're just bootleg sheets, because then I'm on eBay just now. You can get the very one for £19.49. So it looks like, you know what it's like, some of these factories, they get they do their own sort of version of it, didn't they? I think that's what the case is.
I wouldn't buy a set for theirs.
Bob's your uncle got in touch. We should do wrestling daft bed sheets. Bob's your uncle says, another one at Rab's pet peeves is people sending the photos into a podcast. Absolutely. Just described one there, but he sent one in. And it was a picture at Gangrel outside the Woolpack, which I actually like. And also I can see that just rising over the building at the back there is Doberman Man, a character that I played in the show. I'm Walter. Taxi driver, I'm Walter. More examples of wrestling and football for Big Boy Bruno, and hats off to Ronnie Costello at Dundee United, who played Sexy Boy after Charlie Mulgrew scored his last minute winner against
me. That's brilliant. I didn't know about that, John. That's great.
Rumours are that if Scott McMahon scores, he's going to play No Chance in Hell. Well, let's hope so, man. Let's hope so. We've got another football daft versus wrestling daft crossover for Ian, who says he just listened to last week's podcast, and on the subject of football taps showing up in random places, this one always pops me like fuck. I wonder what song the kid has chosen to sing in Bischoff's ear. We've got a picture here, right? And this is baffling to me. It's Eric Bischoff. He's standing there with a mic somewhere, and there's a wee boy with a Rangers tap on, screaming at Bischoff, man.
No,
weirdest thing.
I've came to the conclusion that it's not that weird.
Why?
Because I reckon that is, I could be wrong, but it's definitely when WCW recorded at Universal Studios in the summer, and that's just a wee guy for Glasgow at Universal, and Eric Bischoff is doing the promoting. See the amount of times that you would, record Impact, right?
Aye.
And the amount of random football taps, in fact, the amount of folk that were on their holidays that didn't even know much about wrestling that were in the crowd. Sure, one time I've probably told this before, when I was wrestling Eli Drake and I was figuring the crowd and put the mic in folks' faces and asked what they thought of Eli Drake, and I'm going, what do you think of Eli Drake? And they're going, he's an idiot. What do you think of Eli Drake? He sucks. What do you think of Eli Drake? He's a ball bag. That's big Scottish guy, man. I was like, yes. I was delighted.
Hey, on that front, though, right, rugby's getting in the act now as well. John Cena's team was played after Stuart Hogg scored a try, whatever that is, for Exeter at the weekend. Let's hear this.
Whatever that is.
Start for him today. Hendrickson again. Oh, he's bowling balled his way through, and Hogg's there to complete the strike job.
Wonderful, wonderful trickery there by Henry Slade.
I'll see
the replay, but just to turn his back, cut one way, show the other. Lovely line, Hendrickson. We mentioned it not long ago.
Is this happening more often?
Oh, definitely happening more often. Hey, listen, last week we asked you for your panto-based pun-ins. However, when John put it up on Twitter, I noticed this myself, I auto-corrected it. Says, fuck off, John. Somebody must be auto-correcting all your scripts when you send them through as well, then. Hey, pants. We asked for pants wrestlers. So we've got a mix here of pants and panto, it seems. Well done, John.
Oh, no. I'm just seeing a wee King Thong Bundy. That's somebody that's got the wrong head to stick in it. That's brilliant.
Stevie says, you're great. New Jack and the Beanstalk. And Widow Spanky.
That's good.
Louise says, Charlotte and Rick Underflare. Killian Klein. And King Thong Bundy.
Pierre Louise. That's Pierre Louise as well. Do you know what I mean?
Sorry, Louise.
Sorry, John's Louise. Fault. This is John's fault. We meant Panto.
Bruno says, Rockin' Robin Hood and the Babes and the Xavier Woods. Nice. Smiley Face says, the go-to Sleeping Beauty, the Fairy Godfather, and for pants, Brock Strap and Kyan Tights. Kyan Tights. Chris says, Al Snow White. Good one. And Cody Yellow Brick Roads.
That's brilliant.
Belter. That's the best one. Mm-hmm. Ryan says, Teddy Thong. Andy says, the 1-2-3 skid for pants. And for Panto, Cassius, oh no, he didn't.
That's good.
Belter. Very good.
Belter. Graham says, Sin Cara Della.
That's good.
That's good. Mick says, Keith Lee's behind you.
Very impressive.
And Brian says, Buttons Corbin. Let's say a pun, but he's got the chops for it. And Regal would make a great dame or an ugly sister.
No, he wouldn't.
And Boomer Cannon says, Mustafa Ali Baba and the 40 Thieves. And Beauty and the Brock Lesnar. Ah, clever. Let's leave you this, though. I'll leave you with this for Ian. What's the best non-wrestling wrestling entrance? He's going to go first with Kenny Powers is back in Eastbound and Down. Oh,
that's a great one. But they did use a real American, I'm sure, for that, did they not?
That's did they?
I could be wrong, but I'm sure it's a great thing.
So the best does he mean by the best non-wrestling wrestling entrance just something that's like a wrestling entrance, but as in wrestling, like?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it'd be cheating to say something from MMA. I guess it's cheating MMA or boxing, isn't it?
The darts is good, isn't it?
The darts is good for it.
There's a good video on YouTube of the boxer that comes out to My Delilah. My Delilah.
Yep. Prince Naz always had good entrances, didn't he, back in the day?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
there must be one in telly. There must be like on telly and stuff like that. People making entrances.
Cilla Black, did you know she was committed? Oh, life is full of spices. Oh.
Forsyth, Bruce Forsyth had the big pose and the silhouette and that, you know.
I've got, that's a good one, John. But I've got one for you at the end of the film Aliens, when the big doors open up and Ripley appears in the big power loader.
Yes,
what an entrance that is!
That is
comes in amazing.
That's good. That
Fredo,
is.
Have you ever seen Aliens?
Nope.
See, there you go. I knew you.
What about the Terminator? Terminator.
Have I seen that? I saw that when I was away, and I.
Terminator's got a few good entrances.
Terminator's that. Is the Terminator, is it not true that the Terminator 2 soundtrack is the influence in Goldberg's WCW theme?
Aye, it probably is.
Is it really? Can you play it, John, just for 2 seconds?
The Terminator 2 soundtrack.
Always remember that.
Terminator 2 kind of goes doom, 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 doom.
I want to hear it because I always remember Terminator years
ago. Do you know what? I think you're right, Grado, because now I come to think of the music. I think here we go.
Similar.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? That is.
I've never made that connection before, Grado, for me.
It's just another one of the WCW type. Which makes me think, is that the reason why WWE done their own version of the Goldberg tune?
I don't think so. Nah. I don't think it was close enough. Dun, 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 dun. I don't know. I love Grado's music, and I'll say that. Anyway, if you want, a day.
Thanks.
And if you want to get in touch with us about any of that or just random wrestling-related stuff, get us on Twitter at Wrestling Daft, on Insta at Wrestling Daft Podcast, just Wrestling Daft on Facebook, or email us at wrestlingdaft@gmail.com. Every week, we like to separate the good for the bad in wrestling. We like to talk about what is shite, and we like to talk about what makes the heart light. Fuck's sake.
Is that what John's wrote?
Sorry, I've just realised I've not written an intro this week.
But you just left a gap, but that's
fine. Just left a gap. John, I mean, you're a comedian. You can think of your feet, Rab.
Thanks, John. Right, okay. What you want, is anything you want to put out or anything you want to bury, Grado, for this week? Because obviously there was the Crown Jewel or whatever it's called. Crown Jewel, yeah.
Yeah.
Never saw that, but the only thing that kind of pops into my head is, I don't know what way to bury or put over, but it's not now. It's basically to highlight my thoughts with all the folk that have got jobs at Ring of Honor. and getting released for their contracts, and I think Joe told me that they were still getting paid for the pandemic, but I didn't actually know that it was every single person on the roster. For people that had little appearances and no being in the company long, they were still getting paid. For a company to do that during a pandemic is fucking so good.
When you think about what WWE did and compare that to what Ring
of Honor, compared to the two, do you know what I mean? And you think of the difference in the money that's in either promotion. It's just amazing. You never hear of stuff like that in wrestling. That's like cool as fuck, and it's like really...
No, wrestling is a place where your checks bounce, where your checks are fucking a drawing, where, you know...
You know what I mean?
What happens next for Ring of Honor, do you think?
Well, it does say that they're going to take a couple of months out and they're going to re-characterise it or whatever they said, but, I mean, you don't know what that...
Do you think that means they try and sell it on to somebody that might be interested for them to start up afresh? Or...
It could be.
Maybe Ring of Honor could be bought over and maybe relaunched in the UK.
Ideal. Mm-hmm, ideal. That would be no bad, I know. Ring of
maybe
Honor.
A couple of boys... Not too far away from here. Could be. I don't know. We kind of talk about it. It's too early to talk about it. But anyway,
still got that meeting next week.
Aye. So we cannot, for certain reasons, talk any more about Ring of Honor. However, let's go see what the punters are saying. Gabriel wants to put our AEW. Finally sat down and watched a full show as opposed to clips. Fantastic stuff. And he wants to bury Grado's ICW Lard Lad T-shirt, which cost me 11 quid. And the belt exchange on SmackDown.
What's a Lard Lad?
Don't know.
What's a Lard Lad t-shirt? Lard Lad.
Do you just mean like an XXL t-shirt or something?
ICW still selling my t-shirts? Oh, right. The Homer Simpson one. ICW store UK. Hold on a minute.
Are they still selling your merch, man? Oh, we've made a discovery here. Are they still selling your merch, Grado?
It is merch. Oh my God, what did I
say? We get some breaking news here on Wrestling Daft as Grado has discovered that ICW are still selling his merch. Right, Chris wants to bury the Undertaker introducing Pitbull on stage in Saudi. I mean, Undertaker's just doing anything new, isn't he? He's doing anything.
Welcome to
the raffle at the bowling club. I know it's Pitbull, he's a big star. Back Post wants to put all the Miz on Dancing with the Stars, dressed up as the genie from Aladdin. And I believe this week I saw that he was a pinhead from Hellraiser, the Miz. Congratulations to the Miz for doing all that. Do you know people go on Dancing with the Stars and then end up cheating on their wife? Do you think the Miz is going to do that?
Nah,
no chance. Giza Gobbledygooker wants to put our Edge versus Rollins. He agrees that WWE has been really shite recently, but you have to acknowledge that these two worked their bollocks off in a great match, he says. Also, more Saturday pay-per-views from WWE and AEW in 2022, please. Save so much time on holidays, not having to take a Monday off. And he wants to bury Sami Zayn's new music. Just fuck off. I didn't know Sami Zayn had new music. Why would they get rid of Sami Zayn's music? Why would they get rid of that?
You got it, John.
I guess because he's a heel. I'll see if I can get it up for you. But
John, you should have that lined up, son.
I know, but it's still, even as a heel, it worked because it was kind of annoying.
Yeah, I guess so. But listen, everyone sings along to it. Everyone has a problem, isn't it?
The minute Sami Zayn's contract's up, he's fucking out of there. The minute Sami Zayn's contract up, he's out of there. Like Kevin Owens is. The minute Kevin Owens' contract is... Kevin Owens has already left.
Right. You want to hear Sami Zayn's new music?
Yes. Anybody!
Mr. Conspiracy Theory.
I think this is new music here.
Oh, that's deadly. 1999, kind of 2000, generic. It's like Jim Johnson's, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's very generic sounding, isn't it? Not sure about that, boys. Kev wants to put out NXT Halloween Havoc and wants to put out Trevor McDonald being the new Games Master. Big shout out to Trev, my new mate.
Me and Trev
were fucking with a hell of a night.
You won't get to meet him though, will you?
Oh, I've met him.
Have you?
Aye, we were doing some recording for Games Master, and he's a hell of a boy, by the way.
Really? Were you doing stuff with him?
Well, I had to feed him some questions and he had to do the replies and stuff like that. There was just for a couple of wee bits we were thrown to him, and so we finished it, right? We wrapped, we finished it and all that, and then I'm like, right, oh, it's been an honour working with you, Sir Trevor, and all that. And then he's like to me, well, I'm not with strippers. I was like, fucking hold on, I'm a married man here. I'm like, I'm not interested in that stuff. He was like, fucking come on, man, not with strippers.
You're in almost fat drop off, man.
He was like, me and Jon Snow and all that always are up about fucking strippers. Now we've got an account in there. I was like, Trevor, I'm not doing it. You know what I mean? I'm not doing it. I'm not interested in that. But big Trev, big shout out to him. Good Tim. fair play to him. Scott wants to put our crown jewel, some of the best matches I've seen all year at WWE. And wants to bury Jim Cornette. If I hated modern wrestling as much as him, I just wouldn't watch it. Roshi Boy wants to put our Pac versus Andrade for Rampage. Hey, that was a fucking great match, by the way. Pac is brilliant, isn't he?
He works well with anyone, doesn't he?
Oh man, he's just cracking. He's a brilliant promo as well, I think. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a good promo. I love how
that accent, Nora. Sounds like you're like, this guy bar fuck out of me. Roshi Boy wants to bury Charlotte and Becky's backstage incident. We don't want any. Come on, I love backstage incidents. That's what it should be about.
What's the crack with that? I see that Alex McCarthy did for Talk Sport, deleted his Twitter and stuff. What's the gossip on that, John?
There is heat. The dirt sheets are reporting that. Right, so there was the belt exchange because they're both changing brands. So there was maybe a handover to the belts and stuff like that, but then something had happened backstage and Charlotte had thrown the belt at Becky, which wasn't meant to be, it wasn't scripted out that way, and it all went a bit tits up. And then there was, I think they were avoiding each other backstage, and there was rumours of Charlotte being escorted out the building. I think she might be gone. Because then Andrade then tweeted, fuck WWE.
Did he? I did.
So Andrade then, because she left the arena and went down to Florida for the AEW tapings to see him. And
Charlotte would be great in AEW, I think. She would be great in AEW. She would help that division. I can't wait to see that.
See, because of that guy who was talking about the ICW lad, that t-shirt, I decided to type in Grado Merchant eBay. Look what somebody's selling. I've sent you into the group chat.
See, is this Grado merch?
They'll
be taking money out of your pocket, mate. Oof.
I don't know who took that picture because I've not even got that picture. It's
Stone Cold Steve Austin and Grado 8x10.
That's a belt, isn't it?
I want to buy it.
Stone Cold. Buy it for me.
Maybe Stone Cold that's selling it. Paul wants to put our Ryback chatting shit about Mansoor on Twitter, and Mansoor simply replying with that screenshot his poll where the fans wanted to see him next, and the winner was retire. And Brock Lesnar versus Roman at Crown Jewel.
Can I just say, I think Crown Jewel was probably one of the best pay-per-views of the year.
You joking, John, is that right, eh?
It was really, I watched the full thing and I was thoroughly entertained and enjoyed it. And do you know what? I was saying this to the boys, the Marks, the old Marks show on the group chat, saying...
Love it, mate. I listen to every week.
Fantasy Booking Island.
You're good at that, fantasy booking thing.
Aye. But do you see when you see Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar standing across from each other in the ring, you go... this is what it's all about, isn't it?
I watched that match, by the way, and I mean, they two boys are cracking, right?
Aye.
I agree with you, John. That's fucking wrestling right there, today, two big boys, man.
Yeah.
Daniel wants to put our NXT Halloween Havoc. Genuinely enjoyed the show, the return of actual gimmicks as well recently, especially Tony D'Angelo, who immediately won me over after trying to bribe the ref.
I love that gimmick.
NXT's took an interesting wee turn, innit?
It's fucking mental. It's fun, isn't it? It's just crazy.
Yeah, sorry, Daniel just wants to bury the presentation of the new NXT, especially the hall and the lighting. Again, production is an issue with WWE, I think. Weirdly, production is an issue. But it is interesting how gimmicked up NXT is now. I've actually started, it's starting to draw my eye a wee bit more, you know what I mean?
How's Big Scott Steiner's nephew getting on?
Oh, he's great, by the way.
He's brilliant, isn't he, man?
Oh, he's fucking great.
Why
I just wish they would have called him a Steiner, though. Know what I mean?
Why have they not done that? He did a Frankensteiner there during the week there. And see, when you close your eyes, it's just fucking Scott Steiner speaking. His promo is just Scott Steiner, man.
But the truth is, the boy's so good, it doesn't even need to be called Steiner. It'll be fine. This boy is just... I mean, he's pretty fresh as well. He's pretty new on the scene. But you just look at him and go, fucking hell, man, he is... Strap a fucking rocket to this boy.
I'm surprised they didn't put the belt on him. I'm surprised.
Sometimes as well, I think to myself, never mind NXT, just fucking bring somebody straight in. Bring somebody. I miss the days when you would turn on a Raw, a SmackDown, and a fucking new guy would turn up. You know what I mean? Mm. I miss the days. I hate how you've already watched them for like a year, 2 years on NXT before they move up. Aye. I just don't like, and see somebody as good as him, where everybody at first glance, everybody that looks at him goes, this guy's fucking brilliant. He's a second generation guy. He's like, just fucking bring him in.
Mm-hmm. Well, it never hemmed when Cena came in or even Lesnar at the time.
See if that just boy had thrown in there. Aye, see if that boy had came in on Raw when they did the fucking new season, you know, the season premiere or whatever they do with Raw. Aye. If he came on that and came down and smashed Seth Rollins, that would have been it. Everybody would be on board, you know what I mean?
Aye, but the internet's changed all that, hasn't it? Because beforehand, we didn't see the American indies and all that sort of stuff, the territories, and the first wee glance we got them was when they came up to the main roster at WWE, wasn't it? So, yeah, you know, obviously, everyone on the internet and all the wee dirt sheets and all the wee mark things out there, you always see clips of, say, someone like Ricochet, who you saw in the indies and all that.
Aye, true.
Stuff. So it's really hard now, isn't it, to get that guy. I mean, the one thing they've done is that gold Olympic medalist, what do you call him, who won the Olympic gold of
cycling. I know who you're talking about.
They've drafted him to Raw straight away, so you won't see him at NXT. He's just going to go straight to the main roster. They're obviously trying to do an angle kind of...
Aye, but I just miss the days of, like, take Danhausen, for example, right? So obviously, you know, he's a big, you know, he's a character wrestler and all that kind of stuff, but he's on the indies. People know who Danhausen is and stuff like that, and he's out there and he's doing his thing. But it's like, WWE would probably, they'd bring him in, they'd put him in NXT first, you know what I mean? And see that what they should do with a character, and he's, you know, he's going to end up in AEW, but if he was coming into WWE, a character like that, what they should do is just launch him one night, just bring him out one night, or just, you know, trail him, promo and bring him out. But I miss the days. Anyway, that's it. I don't want to really bury anything. I'm just happy to be here. I'm just enjoying myself, lads.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra-titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
It's the part of the show where we invite you, the listeners, to do a run-in. Come on and talk wrestling or talk daft. It's up to you. This week, please welcome to the podcast for a bit of a Halloween special. It's a regular correspondent. You love this guy. Pablo's Vault of Horror. Pablo Bonzo's in the house. Pablo's Vault of Horror. Here he comes. Regular correspondent to the show, and we can see as his Zoom chat fires up here that he's got a bit of promo there for his radio show that he does, which is all about horror movies. Pablo, where are you, brother?
What's my favourite Pablo's while we're waiting? Pablo Francisco from, he's a Mexican stand-up, he was good. Pablo.
I like Life of Pablo, the Can You Miss album.
My friend,
and as Pablo appears reading a history of cannibalism. Beautiful. Pablo, how you doing, brother? In the background. Oh my God. What a
fight. Are we not dressing up? I thought we were dressing up, but we're not dressing up.
No, we're not dressing up, mate. Hold on, let me see if I've got something. I don't even have
anything. How do you, chaps? How are you, Pablo? I'm very well. How are you all?
Oh, fantastic.
Let me tell you something, Pablo, right? You are a good-looking guy. You've got something about you, by the way.
He's got nice eyes.
You're the kind of guy that would walk into a saloon in a film or something, and all eyes would turn to you. You've just got a good look about you.
Aye.
Well, I get in a bother for walking into any saloons, so that's possibly my downfall. It's these baby blues.
Yeah, no, you look good. When did you lose your hair?
Probably around about 23, thereabouts.
Wow. When you were 23?
Yeah. To quote the great Harry Hill, it would just take me that much longer to wash my face in the morning.
Yeah, there you go. I lost mine around about 20 as well.
See, when I see used bald folk, I sometimes try to kind of like structure it and balance it in my head, like, would I rather be thinner, you know what I mean, with a nice body and be bald? Or is it a good thing that I've got hair? Like, am I thinking it could be worse? I could be fat and bald.
Well, here's the thing. Here's one of the things, and this is an issue for me. This is something I really need to get on top of, keep on top of. Somebody said to me one time, you can be fat or you can be bald, but you can't be fat and bald.
Mm.
You know?
And you used to be fat and bald, remember? And then you lost all that weight.
I did, I know, but I still need to watch myself because I'm like, you know, I'm a fucking bald face looking
now. Can I ask you something as well, right? Like, I mean, I was just like looking, I was making a steak up there, right? And I saw my reflection in the window and I was cooking. I was like, oh, man, fucking look at your steak, my belly, man. And then I'm thinking, do you do that? Do you maybe stun and then look at yourself and go, look at my big fucking baldy head, man.
well, I mean, on my part, I will say that I'm just used to it now. And annoyingly, I used to have quite long hair when I had hair.
I've never known a guy who loves horror films who didn't have long hair at one point.
Yeah,
this is a thing. I love horror films and I used to have long hair.
It's a tangential cross-section of horror films, heavy metal, and wrestling that kind of combines in there. It's the weight on the roots. That's what it was. It was the weight on the root. That's what a biker once told me. A bald biker told me it's the weight on the root. And that's having long hair causes baldness.
Yeah, so pulls it
out. You heard it here first.
Progressively pulls it out. Of course, these days, people just get hair plugs, don't they, these days?
Well, I've always said, like, with my kids, one of the reasons I had kids is so I could harvest the hair at some point. So,
yeah,
you know, my youngest has got, like, you know, he doesn't want to get his hair cut. So, like, through lockdowns and all that sort of stuff, he looks like AJ Styles. He looks like AJ Styles. He's got that proper, like, soccer mom haircut thing going. I mean, he carries it off like a champion, like, so.
He has amazing hair, doesn't he, AJ Styles?
I just want to sniff it.
Yeah, beautiful.
Kids look good, boy, but they look good, didn't they, with long hair, I think that's quite trendy.
I like it when there's a wee blonde boy with long hair, always like that. I'm like, look at that cool wee guy, man.
I had long blonde hair till I was about four, and right down to my shoulders, and that was the last day somebody had stopped my mum in the shopping centre in the Marlon Avenue and went, oh, she's beautiful. I just went, that's it, and I got shaved off. I had long
hair. No, I had a brief period when I had, because I always had long hair, but I had long hair young. And there was one time when I was up in visiting family in Berwick upon Tweed, and I was out for pretty much the entire day with like a friend of me dad's on like this fishing boat up Spittle Way or whatever, just given a like geographical locations. Partway through, the person who was with us the entire day basically like inquired as to whether I was a girl and what school I went to and all this sort of stuff. And for that point on, I had a shaved head for about 2 years. So
I love all that stuff, man. I love this. People think this is a wrestling podcast, but it's about all life. I think it's about all life. Pablo, what are you loving wrestling wise these days? I know you're always sending in stuff to the show. I know you're. You stay engaged with the wrestling world.
I'm just one of these people who, you know, big fan of, you know, came into it young in the late 80s, early 90s, but kind of went back into it during the Attitude era quite heavy. To be honest, it's more podcasts. That's where I get most of my wrestling information from.
Same here.
So it's like, I'll see the odd thing or... I mean, to be honest, I've got it saved up, but that EC3 thing, the, what do you call it, choose your narrative or whatever.
Did you watch it?
I haven't watched it yet, but it's got that, what's his name, Clarence or whatever he's called, Jervis, that nice guy wrestler.
I don't know, but I
he wears like a yellow mask with like his entire thing is like he tries to win matches by being nice to his opponent, like you give him flowers and all this sort of stuff. So it's like a proper like old school kind of like shtick comedy, wrestler guy. And to be honest, I think EC3 probably destroys him because his whole thing is about reclaiming who you are as a powerhouse as a wrestler, you know, ignore the gimmicks, ignore all this sort of thing. I'm assuming, you know.
What was the reaction to that thing, that show?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it was more kind of, I mean, I follow EC3 and to be honest, he replied back to me when I put up saying I'm interested in this, but I don't know what it's going to be. But I'm quite impressed with what he's done since he's left, like TNA and NXT and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, so I'm interested to see what it is. I'm worried it might be slightly overproduced, but that's
it's
just.
It looked really dark.
What's his name on it? Braun Strowman. Because he's mates with EC3, it's like him and Drake Maverick and Spud and EC3. They were like close mates. They'd been doing this YouTube show podcast thing for a little while whilst they were all in WWE. So they're muckers.
Grado, he's the inside track on EC3. Good guy.
Without a doubt, one of the nicest guys ever. I mean, I thought he could have been. I remember when he was like running amok on TNA, I thought he was like going to be like the next Rock. And that's how much I loved watching him. His promos were superb.
Why is it
music,
not happening for him, Grado?
I don't get it, mate. I do not get it. It's just one of the ones. Vince doesn't like him. I think that's the be all and end.
Is he like super intense? I get the impression that he's a bit intense, or is he like easy going? Because he seems to like all the kind of. I know he doesn't put it up front there, but I get the impression that he's like a comic book type of guy and all this sort of stuff.
Well, do you know what? It's funny because I remember when I thought this guy's going to really, because I had only seen him as being Derek Bateman, and he had the hair, which, by the way, his hair was terrible. Remember when he was Derek Bateman?
Yeah.
Like the bob and the curly hair. And then as soon as he shaved his hair and he had that gimmick being Dixie's nephew on TNA, I think within about a year there, he was backstage, he had the respect to everybody because that was a guy that went for WWE, who had that daft gimmick to actually, it became a gimmick that he built on Impact, and there wasn't many characters that done that. How many characters can you name that were released for WWE, had a brand new character, a brand new gimmick, and actually ran with it and it was successful? I can't think of any more. Really, when
I was going to say him and Spuds basically carried TNA on their shoulders for a bit until heavyweights like yourself came in, of course.
Their match at Wembley is one of the best matches I've ever saw live. It's amazing. It's a great match, isn't it? It's brilliant. But they two are best
pals. The build to it, and I think what's his name, who WWE have got now, he was doing the packages at that point, wasn't he? And I think there was like a little, the kind of pre-match package beforehand, really
Kevin Sullivan,
covered
Kevin
it Sully. All. I thought it might be...
Borash probably was involved in it, but I thought you were talking about a guy called Kevin Sully.
TNA chat, you guys, for fuck's sake. For we're talking about the future, not the past. Are you watching AEW, Pablo?
I've seen like snippets and all that sort of stuff, but I think it's like unless you've got Fight TV or whatever it is, the ITV situation's just it's balls.
Mate,
it's
like five in a month. It's nothing. It's a five in a month for AEW. Come on.
Well, I've got Sugar to pay for. I've got Tartan Video On Demand to pay for. There's all this horror content I've got to pay for, and there's only so much wrestling, and YouTube's a wondrous thing.
Pablo, you forget about wrestling. Forget about wrestling. You did a radio show about horror, right?
Yes, Pablo's Vault of Horror. It's on Nova Radio Northeast, internet radio. But we've got an FM frequency and everything, so it's
Radio. That's radio, mate.
That's proper radio, yeah. Novaradio.co.uk. But I will say that, like, if you're going to stream from the website, it's probably not the best way to do it. The best way is if you ask your smart speaker device to open Nova Radio Northeast. If you say open or play Nova Radio, I think you can get some sort of bossa nova station from America, right. which is canny if you want to get Ricky Martin's on. But alternatively, if it's a Wednesday around about 10 o'clock, realistically 10:05 for the news and sport and all that sort of thing. If you ask for it to open Nova Radio Northeast, you'll get me and my Vault of Horror. I've also got a podcast where I put out some of the interviews that I do separately, which is Pablo's Vault of Horror, the podcast, which I believe is available via all podcast portals of preference.
Beautiful. Yeah, I love horror, right? Here, I'm going to hit you with some of the test questions that I ask people that are into horror to try and gauge where they are on the horror spectrum, whether they're on the same wavelength as me or whatever, right? So let me ask you a few. What do you think is the best British horror film of the past 20 years?
Oh, it's your age. Yeah, I was trying to think. Shallow Grave's not really. It's more than 20 years now.
Best horror film in the past 20 years.
20 years? To be honest, I think if it's British, then it's going to be either... The House That Is His. I forget what it was called. Sorry, the film.
It's no fucking mine. It's not mine.
The House of Him.
The House of Him. To be honest, if I'm going like purely down the line without something else jumping out at me, I very much like Ghost Stories. I thought Ghost Stories was excellent, but I would say 28 Days Later, probably. Me, that's within 20 years, isn't
for
it?
For me, it's The Descent is my favourite of the past.
Yes, although I think Descent was 1999 or thereabouts, wasn't it?
It was, man. Fuck's sake, Rab.
Oh my God!
I think I say I'm rubbish when it comes to dates, so do not quote me on that.
Hey, it's 2005. It's 2005, guys.
I know that.
But the Descent is excellent. Although the one problem that it has is that even though it's like pretty much an entirely female cast and all lots of like claustrophobic, all this sort of stuff, but it doesn't technically like pass the Bechdel test. Because the entire setup is essentially all around a man. So feminist, it's like, although it's directed by a woman as well. So, I mean, it's, you know, ticks all the boxes.
I would still say it's primarily about motherhood, though. Anyway, let's move on.
Yeah, super film.
Here's another couple of questions, right? Another couple of questions before we stop. What's the best horror film ever made?
For me, it's probably Texas Chainsaw Massacre or The Exorcist.
That's it, brother.
Because especially because that kind of, it passes the whole kind of, because a lot of people think it's like a horrible, gory film and all that sort of stuff. But if you actually watch the film, there's no like on-screen gore other than kind of set dressing.
I like how you're also coming into a werewolf as we're having this conversation as well.
That's it. One way to get your hair back.
Get used to it. I want to ask you something.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
No, I just want to ask you, right? See the night. Obviously, you know that I like getting frights because it puts me to sleep. What horror film would you advise me to watch that you think, oh, Grado got a wee fright of that tonight?
But you mean
Session 9.
What?
Session 9. It's got a Scotsman in it. It's what's his name? I forget his name. Really good one. He was in. Peter Mullen. Peter Mullen, and you've got David Crusoe, who ruined his career by being a bit of an arsehole, but he's really good in this film because it's a really good one because it's quite unsettling, and from watching the DVD extras, it could have been a completely different film, really formulaic, but I think the way it works is it's a really unsettling film.
Grado, see if you want a spooky film to watch while you're in your bed, while you're falling asleep.
Aye.
I recommend The Fog.
The Fog, right. The Fog in
the
Session
fog
9.
The Fog is both spooky with a couple of wee frights in it and just kind of really soothing and kind of relaxing.
Was that film they were all going to film that about, right? And it was a bit too close to the bone. It was called like an Albanian film or something like that, but it was no Albanian.
A Serbian film.
Aye.
I wouldn't. I've got a big thing personally on the show, Pablo's World of Horror, Nova at the Northeast, 10 p.m. every Wednesday, the whole kind of like you can make a horror film by essentially being really horrible to women. There's a big subsection of horror which is just essentially like just being nasty to women without the.
Pablo, what do you think of Martyrs, the French film?
I mean, the French film has merit. I think the remake is pointless.
I hate Martyrs. I fucking hated it.
Well, I think it's the whole kind of...
It does have some merit. It's a well-made film. I think it's a well-made film, but fuck, that's no
fun. I think it's the same kind of thing with, like, Irreversible, which I think is a film which I've seen. I'll never watch again, and I would... Yeah, I would never recommend anybody to watch it, really, but I think as a kind of... All right. so you're a list somewhere. No, but it's the kind of film where it's like, it's like cinematically, it's a brilliant film, but it's a very, very tough watch.
That scene that I hated that bit, that was horrible. But what I liked about it was that it went backwards. That was cool.
Yeah. I mean, I'd say it's the whole setup of it. And that very first scene, but essentially, I mean, it's not ruining it, but somebody gets their head stoved in by a fire extinguisher. And I've watched that like kind of scene by scene, and you can't see the edit. There's an edit point, so you think it is. But I mean, I know nobody got their head smashed in, but yeah. But as I say, it was a cinema of the extreme, or whatever they call it. It's like a French thing. I think there's merit to it, but I think, you know, it's to be studied at universities, not necessarily be streamed at home by whoever.
Right, Pablo. So remind us again. Pablo's Vault of Horror, Nova Radio.
Northeast, Nova Radio Northeast. So novaradio.co.uk is the website, I think. But yeah, but if you do a search at Pablo Bonzo on Twitter, is my Twitter handle, so follow us on there. I've got all the details, and obviously if you've got anything horror related that you want to plug, I have many a guest on, as can be heard on my podcast, Pablo's Vault of Horror, the podcast.
Beautiful, mate. Thanks so much for coming on, and have a great Halloween.
Thanks
so much for all the stuff you send into the show.
Ooh. Should I leave you with one horror fact?
Yes.
So it's wrestling connected.
Yes.
Freddy vs. Jason, the movie, a wrestler was using some of the stunt work playing Freddy Krueger. Who was it?
A wrestler was...
Dutch Mantel.
Kevin Nash.
Rey Mysterio Jr. was Freddy Krueger in the fight scenes.
No way.
Between. Wow. Yeah. So there you go. There's a fact for you.
Mental. How do I know that?
I was just looking it up the other day, and it just popped out there. So
there you go.
Yeah,
well, that's
that's
why you should listen to your show, mate. That's where you get the facts. Beautiful. Thanks so much for coming on, man. Right. My best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Tatty bye.
Google Bibs.
See you there. Woo! Wrestling Daft. We've teamed up with Platinum CBD for Columbia Care, the world champion in the CBD world. We're giving you the opportunity to try this stuff for free. That's right, you've heard it, for free. I've been getting plenty of messages for people asking me, see, when you're talking on that podcast about that CBD stuff, is it good? Will it help me? And I voice note every one of them back and I say, listen, I know I've got them as a sponsor on the podcast, but it literally is a great thing to have, especially if you're struggling to sleep, if you are, you know, you've got chronic pain, anxiety, depression, stress, inflammation, gut issues, brain fog, the lot. If you start using CBD for Platinum CBD, then you will notice a difference. All you need to do is head to cold-care.uk and use the discount DAFTFREE. That's DAFTFREE at cold-care.uk. Use that code to try the 10% oil, or you can get the capsules and you can get it for hee haw damn. Oh, that's right, nada. You need to remember, post world lockdown, my mental health might not be the strongest. It can be a lifesaver for some. And as I say, it has helped me in the past with the sleeping. It's helped me with my gut issues in the morning. And I really think it is a really good product, and I'm not just saying this. And the amount of people that have got back to me, as I said, there's folk at work that are using it, and everybody seems to find the benefits for it. A wee bit about CBD is, you know, they've brought it for the US. It's a sophisticated CBD wellness range. There's the oil and peppermint, there's the unflavoured, and the soft gel capsules, which are easy to take. Nay THC, vegan friendly, 100% organic, and it's backed with the scientific research. And it makes sure you get the premium CBD product every time. And as it's easy to just stick in your gob, the droplets, you just stick them under your tongue. And I feel as if it works right away. I remember getting CBD a couple of years ago, and the guy was like, I'll take a good couple of days to kick in. But with this, you really start to see the benefit. Well, I know everybody's different, but I saw the benefits right away. So as I said, we've got that discount code there. You'll get it to try it for nothing. It's DAFTFREE. And get the 10% oil for pickle.
You just made the list!
Every week we take a wrestling-related subject, put it into an order.
I'm falling asleep. Oh, sorry.
For fuck's sake, man.
Sorry, mate.
Every week we take a wrestling-related subject, put it into an order, and that, ladies and gents, is what we call the list of wrestling daft. This week, it was our four-time loser best moments at NXT. Forget that. Stick that in the bin, John. Versus the scariest moments in wrestling to celebrate Halloween. And, of course, with 96%, it was the scariest moments in wrestling, without a doubt. I'm going to fling this in here. Greg Hemphill was talking to me about this the other day. Brock Lesnar doing that shooting star press on Kurt Angle. That was a fucking scary moment, by the way.
Scary moment. Undertaker coming out the ring, WrestleMania, I can't remember. Was it 25? And he jumps into Jimmy Snuka holding the camera. That was a scary moment. I thought he was dead. I was right on UKFF to see if him did it.
I'll tell you a scary moment. Talking about the Steiners earlier in the show, when Rick Steiner was in the ring and fucking Chucky appeared. Terrifying. That was a terrifying moment. Tell you what was another scary moment, when Jake Snake fucking came out of that at the wedding and came out and fucking bit Macho Man. That was scary when I was a wee guy. I'll tell you that for nothing.
Or when, what'd you call him, Heidenreich was about to bang Michael Cole. Remember that? He grabbed him for bang and he was getting right up and breathing down his neck going, I love caskets.
I mean, that was scary as well. Tell you what else was a scary moment. What was a scary moment was when Jericho came off that cage at that AEW hang me and he went right through that mattress. When he went into that big cushion, that was scary. Tell you what else was scary in AEW, when all the bombs went off, when the explosions went off, and Eddie Kingston had to lie on Moxley and give him a wee bit of a cuddle while two party poppers went off. See, no, like an AEW's ass, but there is only one Tony Khan. Mistakes do happen. Let's see what the punters are saying. Oh, fucking, I've just seen it already. Somebody says Papa Shango. Easily Papa Shango making the Ultimate Warrior's face melt. Here, I'll tell you another one's a scary moment. This really terrified me. When Hulk Hogan looked in his mirror in his dressing room and the fucking Ultimate Warrior was in the mirror. I tell you what else is scary. Every time watching Sin Cara doing that jump into the ring after the trampoline, because I always thought he's going to break his neck.
Make an ass of it.
Nah, he's going to fuck it up.
What about Triple H getting Stone Cold's motor? Oh no, Stone Cold with Triple H in the motor, remember that? You go on the Kerrang and he fucking chucked it out and you're going, is that real?
That's right. Anyway, John says Papa Shango making the Ultimate Warrior's face melt, making him spew. Scary spewing. I'll tell you what else is scary, by the way. Here's another one. It's just occurred to me. That time Bray Wyatt was wrestling John Moxley and WWE and a ghost appeared.
That's your favourite.
That time, remember that time the Fiend came and the light went out and then the light was all red and stuff and Seth Rollins was screaming. That was really scary. Do you remember that time Alexa Bliss had all the mad black stuff coming out of her mouth and all that, and Randy Orton spewed the black stuff and all that, and then it was a big jack-in-the-box thing and then the Fiend came with it. That was really scary. Do you remember the time the Fiend appeared on the big screen? And all that? That was really, really scary. It would be scary if you need to understand the lore at all before you would understand that it's scary. That's what Bray Wyatt's fans always say, and the Fiend's fans say. You need to understand. You just don't get it. Brian says Lance Archer's moonsault last week. Didn't see that. Former Bolt defender brutal. David Wheater got in touch and says Kane interrupting matches in the dark when he first came on the scene gave David Wheater a hellier fright when that happened.
I love that story, man.
Lee says Heidenreich kidnapped Michael Cole and taking him in the cubicle. Wasn't he pretty? There you go, Gredo. Westy says the Undertaker's monologue after losing to Yokozuna in a casket match at Royal Rumble 1994. Scary monologue for the Undertaker. Hello, Granny. Mick says the seven vignettes is the only answer. Mike says being asked to work a 60-minute draw. Pin says Jake the Snake tying Macho Man up in the ropes and getting his snake to bite him. Terrifying. I mind my dad trying to tell me how he'd be fine, but I was convinced he was going to die for the poison. Chris Scullion, good friend of mine, get in touch, says, story-wise, when Jake Robert Snake was in one of the presents during Randy Savage and Liz's wedding, but in reality, when Enzo Amore rattled off the ropes and started breathing really weird. Fuck,
well, that was brutal, man.
Aye. Like, this guy's in trouble.
He was out.
Ryan says, Undertaker dragging the coffin with his fingers trapped inside after that segment with Jake the Snake. Intense. Ian says, Papa Shango putting the curse on the Warrior. Every cunt talking about it the following week in Primary 7. I'll tell you what else is a scary moment. The time Sergeant Slaughter shot Hulk Hogan in the face with that flamethrower. That was a scary moment. Gladenoid says Brock botching the shooting star press. I can't believe that's in here. Shooting star press and landing on his head. Thought he'd broken his neck. Mark says, anytime Nia Jax is in the ring, don't talk about Grado's favourite Nia Jax like that. And Dean says, the number one scariest moment in wrestling history is, hello, Granny. Can you believe you'll need to delete my earlier hello, Granny? Because now, listen, if you want to support this show, no bullshit, it's time to talk about this. If you want to support this show, me and Grado earn a fortune, right? We are incredibly wealthy men. Right, let me explain this to you. I've got a sitcom. Grado's in a sitcom. Grado's a breakfast radio guy. I'm fucking presenting Games Master for Channel 4. Grado's in, I can't even talk to you, but he's done some shooting for a major thing recently. I can't tell you, but we are making money hand over fist. But I'll tell you something. We need your money. I'll tell you something for nothing. We need your money, right? Because the money we're getting after these big organizations and corporations isn't enough. We want your money because we want to keep this show going. We want to keep saying, listen, it's recording this anew. It's 9:45 at night. My wife is lying in bed through there waiting for me. What the fuck I'm saying here? Grado's in the same position. John's in the same position as well. Yeah. We're taking this time out to do this for you and explaining to our families. Look, no, I can't take the way into bed. I can't read the way in a bedtime story. I've got to do wrestling, Dad, for the punters. And the way you support us is by flying us a wee fucking fiver here and there to keep us going. So get us patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. Bonus episodes, extra content, get involved with us. And you need to be involved because remember, the world is starting to wake up. Live shows are starting to happen again. And if you have got to be a patron if you're ever going to come and see us live. That's how you're going to get the best access, the VIP access to the live stuff. If you fancy any of that, get on board. Become one of our patrons. We are loaded, but we need your money. Sign up now at patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. We would love to welcome you to the roster. Now, every week we jump into the virtual car and retell some of the funny and embarrassing moments from your lives in the form of a road story, just like wrestlers on their way back for a show trying to pop each other with a cool story. Now, remember, you can give us your funny stories from your life by DMing us at WrestlingDaft or emailing us at WrestlingDaft@gmail.com. Let's get in the car this week and see what happens.
Let's go. Brum, 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 brum,
brum. Good match tonight, mate. Oh, I nearly had a heart attack when you tried that shooting star press, though, mate. I thought you'd snapped your neck there. I started spewing when I saw you coming down. I started spewing and my spew was black.
Black? Your spew was black?
But see, if you're in a wrestling ring and you start spewing, it's black for some reason. I don't know why that happens. Anyway, any stories, mate, to pop me? Get me popped, mate.
Right, here's a crack. See, a few years ago, right, my work sent me in a 3-day first aid course, right? The first day was all right. I learned CPR and they showed me how to use the defibrillator. So somebody said, see some of the videos that they were showing me, man, they were kind of grim, but they were pretty straightforward. But on the second day, we were looking at broken bones and certain green fractures. Now, I'm not too good with broken bones, and we talked about the football player Alan Smith's fractured leg was dislocated, and I started to feel a wee bit kind of hot, a wee bit kind of sweaty, so
aye.
I went out to get a wee bit of fresh air. See, when I sat outside, I started to feel a wee bit dizzy, right? And I sat with my head in between my knees and I started to I was basically trying to settle myself down. See, after about 5 minutes, I thought, I better get back inside, man. So, unsteadily made my way back in, headed to the toilet first, splashed my face with some cold water, and then the next thing I knew, I could hear somebody groaning. The groaning started to get louder. It took me a wee while to realise I was lying on my back. And the noise was coming for me. I'd passed out and banged my head in the flare. Eventually, I had to go to the reception desk and let them know what happened. The first aid I looked to her and then called a paramedic to come and check how I was. I ended up with a concussion, a week off work, and winning a first aid certificate. It's taken me a fair wee amount of time to live it down. And that's from Ian. And that's what we like.
We like a wee story. That's a
wee kind of fun stuff. No sex.
We're scraping that. I mean, come on. I mean, listen. I appreciate Ian has sent in that story, right? And he's taken a lot of time and a lot of effort. We appreciate Ian listening to the show as Grado spits something out of his mouth.
Right, I'm on a diet. I've got melon and kiwis. It's fucking bugging. Anyway.
It off? But Ian, come on, we need to up the game here, son. You know, we've had stories on about debauchery, and now we're finding out a first aid course where he fainted. Come on now.
What are you wanting? Are you wanting, like, and I went and to try and gather myself together and I collapsed and then somebody did a shite in my mouth? And,
I know.
Well, that's what
that would have been a better ending. That would have been a better
breakfast
ending.
New, mate. It's not Bowie at Breakfast New. This is maybe a last show.
Maybe we should change it up.
What do you suggest?
Stories about something, a particular subject.
A particular subject? Like,
what do you think?
Right, so we set the topic.
What about, no, I've got an idea. Why don't we try this? Why don't we try this as an experiment to see what works? We want people new to write a work of fiction, right? It's not supposed to be a work of fiction about your life. Let's make these road stories proper. Imagine we're a couple of grizzled wrestlers in the late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah.
Territory workers on our way back for a show. What is the stories that they would tell each other? What is the stories, hilarious and funny stories that they would tell each other? We want you to write a work of fiction for a road story now. Just imagine you're one of these grizzled veterans. What stories are they telling? And make it as outrageous as you like.
They focus on us. If we to be the main character? Me, you and John, right? Me, you and John.
We're the main characters, right?
John's the ref.
You know, whatever our names might be, you can come up with what our names are, right? And we'll tell the road story. So just in a similar form, except you just imagine it.
I think it's a big ass grab. There's a lot of hoops to jump through that.
This is what these people have been desperate to do all along. They don't want to tell stories.
Our crowd are into all that. I know for a fact creative writing is a big thing. And I know you stay all that Warhammer carry on and fucking and coming up and Tetris and all that shite. He's all sitting fucking computer games and all that and all imagine stuff like this, the Sims and all that push. So get told right into it. I know our crowd is right into that stuff.
Aye, exactly. I agree. So let's get a wee bit of fiction next time. Listen, that's it for Wrestling Daft. Please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple or get us on wherever you get your podcasts. Mind for more content and the video version of this show. It's worth seeing on video, seeing our beautiful faces. Get on board at patreon.com/wrestlingdaft and why not check out our merch at shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/wrestlingdaft or check out Grado's merch at icw.com. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for listening and we will see you on the next one. Up at old Grado.
Fucking it shall sell.
Audio Frontier.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.